A few times a year, people from all over the U.S. and well beyond come to Maine to learn the science of all things rotten. The Maine Compost School has been teaching people how to turn organic trash into treasure and glop into gold for 20 years, making it the longest-running program of its kind in the U.S. Jennifer Mitchell has more.
Making a good compost is not for the faint of heart. It involves lots of things that stink, several things that crawl, and trillions of things you can't even see.
Careful where you step, because there is some active chicken manure in some of these piles.
On this hot summer day at Highmore Farm in Monmouth, flies are zinging about several shaggy piles of wood chips, eggshells, peeling, scraps, and grass clippings, and chicken manure, each pile a curated blend teeming with hungry bacteria. Mark King, a compost team member from the Department of Environmental Protection, points to a pile that has a problem.
Like this one right here is the wet pile. And the way you can tell is because of all the leachate around the base of it. Leachate is liquid loss of nutrients.
It's also incredibly smelly. And if you have too much of it oozing from the bottom of your compost pile, then your mixture is wrong.
And we do this test called the squeeze test, where you grab a handful of the material and you squeeze real hard. If water shoots out between your fingers, then it's too wet. If you open your hand and it crumbles out, it's too dry. If you open your hand and it makes a wet little ball, then it's perfect.
Then King points to the Goldilocks pile. Not too wet, not too dry, it's just right. A perfect mix of nitrogen, carbon, oxygen, and water with an earthy smell that's well on its way to becoming a rich, fertile material that will help plants grow. Troubleshooting compost is just one of many lessons offered at the Maine Compost School, which has been teaching the finer points of decomposition to students from all 50 states and dozens of different countries since 1997.
Is this a carbon source or a nitrogen source?
Carbon. It's the best in the world from what I hear.
That's Jake Smith, who's made the trip from Nashville, Tennessee, where he works for a company that designs a type of barrel composter.
We manufacture it and then sell it to the local poultry farmers there in Tennessee and Carolinas. A lot of growers down there composting with their litter and then also their mortality.
Mortality as in farm animals that have died. It's become a major focus for both farmers and the Maine Compost School in recent years. Instructor Bill Seekins, who's retired from the Maine Department of Agriculture, says mortality is an unavoidable part of farming, and some of the old ways of disposing of those large carcasses are no longer acceptable.
You know, the practice of just dragging the cow out and dump it over the stone wall and hoping that something will carry it off is being frowned on.
At one time, another option would have been to send the animal to a rendering facility to be converted into other products such as tallow and bone meal. But there are fewer of those facilities now and none nearer than Massachusetts. Enter composting. Composting can be used to safely break down pretty much any organic matter, even with risky conditions present. In 2015, when the avian influenza outbreak hit the poultry industry, experts from the Maine Compost School were flown out to Iowa to teach farmers there how to safely dispose of diseased carcasses. Mark King with DEP was part of that group.
We had one farm that had over 6 million birds on it, and we basically created the best recipe, and we ended up with about 16 miles of windrows.
That's a 16-mile-long mound of compost, and that was at just one farm. King says in years past, all those birds would have been incinerated or buried. But incineration is not environmentally friendly, he says, and recent research indicates that diseases like avian and swine flu can survive in buried carcasses and infect groundwater systems. With composting, the biological processes neutralize pathogens, leaving nothing behind but the basic building blocks of organic matter. Composting is also gaining popularity as a gentler, greener way to handle the remains of beloved pets, spawning at least one business in Lewiston, which specializes in composting horses. In fact, the next compost school this month will focus on how to compost large animals, but that class is already filled up.
So, is grass a carbon source or a nitrogen source? And the answer is yes.
The classes, held 2 to 3 times per year, have always filled up. George McDonald, a team member from DEP, says students have come from 42 different countries, some with significant development challenges.
A number of our students from other countries are interested in trying to better manage their solid waste stream so that the organics, which have value, to soils don't end up in the landfill. One of our students came from the Galapagos Islands, and any organic that they can recover and use to improve the soils on their islands is critical.
The team itself was first formed in Maine back in 1990 to help address a growing concern over how to handle organic wastes, especially from the seafood industry, where piles of reeking fish guts and lobster shells were fouling the air of seaside communities. The team has since composted everything from simple grass clippings to entire whales. The DEP's Mark King says the team recently got a call from the FBI, which studies human remains at a test location popularly known as the body farm.
And what they wanted to do was they wanted to compost the body, and then they wanted to have a dog go and a cadaver dog and see if they could tell that there had been a body in the compost.
King says when the FBI is ready to move on that project, the team will be there to help. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.